This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Where is Congress on Trump's lethal military strikes on Venezuelan boats? Reads the headline in the National Review Online. An article written by my colleague Andrew McCarthy of National Review Online, former prosecutor for the Justice Department. And we're joined by our good colleague Thaddeus McCotter, former member of Congress, now writing in American Greatness, to comment on something that's been happening over these last days, the presumption of a very powerful flotilla somewhere between Puerto Rico and the coast of Venezuela, staged in a fashion to suggest strongly to the regime in Caracas that it's time for Maduro, who's named as the head of a drug cartel, Cartel of the Sun, it's time for him to go, turn him over to the authorities, and we will prosecute him, says the United States, as a drug lord. However, what we've seen since then are several instances where the U.S. has apparently opened fire on what was presumed to be a Venezuelan boat filled with drugs and drug runners. Andy, a very good evening to you. I was unfamiliar with this whole idea of opening fire without the permission of Congress. The headline that you post under in the National Review Online has the same presumption. Does it not? Congress needs to declare war on Venezuela or something close to it. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John and Thaddeus. Well, I certainly believe that that's the case. This is a complicated area, John, because it's always been the law, and it was explicitly recognized in the Civil War era prize cases, that if the United States is under attack or under a threat of attack, the president need not wait for authorization by Congress to take whatever action is necessary to repel the attack. So that is the exception, and it's a very broad exception, to the Congress, to the constitutional reality that Congress, not the president, was given the war power, which of course is a very big distinction between our system and the British system that we broke away from, where the king had the war power. This is a situation where President Trump is essentially equating boats filled with drugs, and let's assume for argument's sake that he's accurate on this because he hasn't really come forward with any evidence that he wants us to consider. He's just giving us his say-so that he may very well be right about that. But what he's essentially saying is that a boat filled with narcotics, which he says is destined for the United States, is the functional equivalent of a foreign power with a naval vessel shooting a missile at the United States. I'm not persuaded by that, but I do think that that's what the theory is.
And they've said that explicitly, that we regard this boat moving with drugs as a direct assault on the United States, as if it was a medium-range missile at Cuba. They've said that?
Well, I'm the one who's connecting the dots saying the missile, but they have said that a boat filled with narcotics that comes to the United States kills thousands of Americans. And the only sense of that argument is that it's functionally the same as if the boat were a naval vessel that was shooting a missile at us rather than sending narcotics here. The problem with that, I think, is twofold. One is Congress has made importation of narcotics a felony under the federal narcotics laws. So Congress has never deemed those kinds of shipments as military in nature. They're criminal in nature. We can argue about whether, like, it changes the equation if you say that a foreign regime is behind the shipments, but put that to the side. In 2020, the Trump Justice Department, this would have been the Justice Department in the first Trump administration, indicted Maduro, Trende Aragua, the Cartel of the Suns that you just mentioned, John, which is Maduro's, said to be Maduro's own international drug enterprise, and a number of other Venezuelan officials. There were about five or six indictments that were filed in all. So the Trump Justice Department back then regarded this as crime, not war. And I guess the last thing I would say about it is Trump continues to harp on the fact that he has designated Maduro and Trende Aragua as terrorist organizations. And what I would simply point out is, as a matter of law, a terrorism designation allows you to do things like arrest people and prosecute them for providing material support to terrorists, cut off funding, etc. It doesn't authorize military force. So, for example, we designated Al-Qaeda as a terrorist organization in 1998. After the 9/11 attacks, 3 years later, Congress authorized military force because nobody believed that the terrorism designation provided a legal basis to conduct military operations. You needed Congress for that.
Thaddeus, you have a question or comment?
Yes, Andy. So how would we differentiate this then from President Obama's use of drones to kill American citizens abroad?
I think the answer to that, Thaddeus, is that Congress authorized military force after the 9/11 attacks. And whether we think this is a good or a bad interpretation of that AUMF, the authorization of for the use of military force, administrations of both parties going back to the Bush 43 administration have interpreted that AUMF in a very broad way to go after people not only who were connected to Al-Qaeda, which was the organization that was behind the attacks, but Al-Qaeda's successor organizations. You know, there's been a lot of criticism, I think a lot of it valid, of that AUMF because it didn't name a specific enemy, it wasn't geographically limited, and it wasn't temporally limited, and the government has therefore used it in a very elastic way over the ensuing two decades to go after anyone who was basically connected to jihadist terrorism. But what they would say, I think, what Obama would say, is that he was operating on a congressional authorization of military force, whereas Trump is really on his own hook here.
And the presumption is that he's giving an order to destroy the enemy, the gangsters. We place people under arrest in the United States. We don't open fire on them when we allege that they're criminals. I'm lost between the Justice Department and the Defense Department, Andy.
Yeah, well, it's an excellent point, John. Now, there are obvious differences, right? We're talking about vessels which are on the high seas. So you're not talking about, like, criminals on U.S. territory committing crimes. Nevertheless, again, we have treated, and Congress has treated, drug importation, no matter how serious, as a heinous crime, but not an act of war. And it's pretty routine for the Coast Guard to interdict drug shipments, to arrest the people who are involved, and to prosecute them in the United States. Now, obviously, if the Coast Guard and any other American forces, if they encountered resistance when they were trying to make arrests, they would be able to use whatever force they needed to use to put down the resistance. But that's not what we're talking about here. What President Trump is saying is he's not looking to prosecute these people. If he suspects there's a boat that's carrying drugs, he's blowing it out of the water. And the last one, John, there's been three of these that have been reported so far, 17 people killed. On the third one, he didn't even identify the boat as Venezuelan. in origin. He basically said it was a boat that was moving in a way that was consistent with what the experiences of monitoring drug runners, and that's why they took the action that they took. And they said the aftermath confirmed that they were correct. But Trump, who has been, you know, he mentions Venezuela all the time when he's, you know, talking in a provocative way. I thought it was very telling that with respect to this third operation, he didn't mention Venezuela. So what he's, I think, asserting authority to do is even broader than just Venezuela.
Thaddeus, you have a question.
Yes, Andy, there's been no explanation as to what constitutes the graver danger from these shipments, other than obviously they were drug laden. But has there been any indication there may have been carrying any other type of bioweapon or anything else?
No, not in any of the reporting, not in anything the president has said. Now, Thaddeus, what he did say was that at least the first two shipments were being operated by Tren de Aragua operatives. And he made a point of saying that and connecting it to the fact that he has designated Tren de Aragua as a terrorist organization. And I think that, in addition to the fact that the boats were laden with drugs, was part of the rationale for doing this. The problem with that, as I said before, is that a designation of an organization as a terrorist organization, and I think it Trump's out on a limb on that too, because we've never designated an organization as a terrorist organization for drug trafficking. But leaving that aside, the designation doesn't authorize military force.
I'm speaking to Andrew McCarthy and Thaddeus McCotter about the so far completely not transparent story of Venezuela, drugs, Maduro, the United States Navy flotilla off the coast of Venezuela, and the Trump administration. So when we come back in time, the man's name was Anwar al-Awlaki, an American citizen, during the time of the Obama administration. Does that reveal anything that would be helpful here in this fog of war off Venezuela? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.